the artists were attempting to make art more than just something to look at. They wanted it to be something to be involved in, something too big to ignore.
It is our function as artists to make the spectator see the world our way, not his way.
Black, and we will be here. We've actually got a really full studio with the door open and everything, but as we move into my cool associates dancing on the airwaves, they will tell me when they are ready, and I will let you all get ready with the beats.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Movement Museum, talking about dance on the radio. And we have, yes, as Sirius Black said, we have a full studio. We have a Finn, we have a John, we have a Dara, and my name is Zeke, and we even have both our in-studio guests in the studio as we speak. Everything is organized, wonderful, cool, copacetic, and relaxed. And as far as I can tell, given that, we're going to be talking about Contact Improv Second. That's the one that, as far as my understanding goes, is not really the most relaxing dance form out there. However, at the beginning, we are talking about Samba de Gafieira. Did I get that pronunciation right, Roberto?
Almost, Chris. It was Samba de Gafieira. But I don't expect
okay.
you to get
a justification. It's going to take me a while to wrap my lips around something like that. At which point, that's the relaxing dance form, right?
It can be relaxing. It can be agitated. It can be romantic. It can be kind of naughty. Oh. It's a very dynamic dance.
Okay, yes. And so as to explain, this is Roberto Rocha, who teaches the Samba de... Can you help me with that last word?
You can say Gafieira.
Gafieira. Thank
there
you.
You go.
And at which point, he teaches Samba de Gafieira. That wonderful and amazing ballroom dance style from Brazil.
That's right.
How about that? Because those are the words I can easily slip my lips around, much easier than the G-A-I-F-E-R-A with a whole whack of accents over things that I don't even know what they look like.
I did good enough.
Okay, and at which point, yes, he's in studio with us for the first part, and then at the second half, we're going to be having Catherine Lessard. Catherine Lessard, who's head of the Association for Contact Improvisation. And those, thankfully, are words that I can wrap my lips around. And so, to start with, launch into it and stuff like that. Roberto, can you explain to us this wonderful dance, ballroom dancing from Brazil that I can't pronounce?
Sure. To help you again with the pronunciation, I'm going to say it in Portuguese, it's Samba de Gafieira. But you can say Samba de Gafieira. That's if that helps kind of anglicize it a bit. It's a dance. It's the couple's version of the samba. If people hear the samba, they think of this dance that you do on your own, very frantically on your feet, a lot of booty shaking, right? The Samba de Gafieira is the couple's version of that. That was born sometime in the 40s out of just a big mix of Afro-Brazilian beats and some European influences, and the tango had a huge influence in it too. So it's a dance that you dance, it has a lot of sweeping leg movements, it's got a sort of a quick slow box step to it. And the funnest thing that people like the most about it, there's a lot of room for playfulness and improvisation, and so it can be very surprising for both dancers.
Okay, and you said it started in the 40s. How did it sort of, I'm always sort of endlessly fascinated with dances sort of starting, and I always figure it's like everybody just sort of knows how to move, and then they sort of gradually segue into new forms and new movements, but then suddenly realize, no, actually there is, bam, this date, it got invented, and how did it get invented and stuff like that?
Well, Samba de Gafieira, it's almost a perfect metaphor for Brazilian culture itself, because Brazil itself is a big mix of African, European, and indigenous influence that got all mixed together, plus with all the European immigrants that came. And the Samba de Gafieira can almost be described the same way. Now, what's interesting is, look at the word Gafieira. Now, what word in English and French does that kind of sound like? If you look at the first syllable.
In Gaf.
Gaf, exactly, Gaf. A Gafieira was what was used to describe these big, raucous parties of the lower class in Brazil in the 40s, and they're mostly black, you know, African slave descendants. And they just had these crazy evenings that no elite person would want to go near because it just seemed vulgar and inexcusable. And so they called it Gafieira because it's just an evening of gaffes, right? And the name stuck. Like a lot of things that, a lot of words that start as derogatory, it kind of stuck. They appropriated it. And in these balls, these gafieiras, they used to do the mexixe dancing, which is a mix. It's comes from a bit of Afro-Brazilian rhythms and styles that were brought from the slaves. A lot of polka and mazurka, actually. It's funny. A lot of the rhythms were influenced by Polish music. And like I said, gradually, you know, some of the elites started frequenting, started becoming cool. They started bringing, you know, more classy dances into it and mixing it in, like the tango. Mm. And slowly, the Samba de Gafieiras we know today started taking shape. And still changing today.
Okay. And how would you sort of describe it as I'm having difficulty with my English these days. In terms, you say it's tango, there's a little bit of polka and stuff like that. Is there any way that you can actually describe the physical movements and stuff like that? Because anytime somebody says polka to me, I think of Texas two-step. And somehow, I cannot imagine sort of a Brazilian Texas or a Brazilian two-step.
Well, like I said, it's you see little sprinkles of it in there, right? Mm-hmm. It's a little spice in there these days. It's not a main element anymore. What it looks like is, imagine the tango embrace, right, between mm-hmm. the man and the woman. So arm to the side, other hand on the back. Mm-hmm. And if you think about the salsa basic step, right, that's sort of going forwards and backwards, mm-hmm. it's a little bit like that, but with the feet closer together.
Okay.
And that's a big step in a quick, slow pattern. And but unlike the salsa, which is mostly done by twirling, right, a lot of twirling with the arms, the Samba de Gafieira uses the full body to lead. The chest is the most important part of the gentleman for leading, because it tells the woman where he wants to, you know, take the dance, right?
Okay.
So there's a lot of twisting of the upper body. There's a lot of separation to do your own little, you know, your own little, add your own little poetry, and then you get back together. Mm-hmm. There's some jerky sort of breaks where you can suddenly change direction. There's a lot of turning around both together. It's something they really have to be seen to.
Well, no, you're doing a very good job. I'm definitely visualizing it in my head now. Say, oh, okay, I get an idea about this.
Okay.
And yeah, do any of you guys out there have questions?
Well, I was watching a little bit of the videos off the website and everything, and so I was starting to look up on Wikipedia a little bit, and exactly what you said, how it came out of sort of like the slums, very much like the history of tango, like you were saying. It is, I could see what you mean, that there is the influence of Polish dancing, you know, because it has like a little bit of that element of bounciness and the quick step in it, you know. In regards to its look, it does have the elements of tango in the sense of like the fancy footwork, the weaving in between the legs of the women and of the men. I guess the big difference also is tango will normally be sort of cheek to cheek also, like there's not that head on face to face between the partners. Like they're very much connected through the chest, but their projection would be a lot different than the Samba de Gafiera also. So it was very interesting. How long have you been studying this?
I've been studying it for about 5 years. I'm from Brazil.
Nice.
But I only started learning Samba de Gafiera here in Montreal when this Brazilian dancer from Rio called Marcos de Oliveira, he came to Montreal to teach. And I was there the first, basically his first or second night in Montreal. He was just fresh off the boat. And he did a demonstration at this bar on Celeron called Le Bobard. And on Sundays there's live Brazilian music there. And he did a demonstration. It's like, oh my God, I have got to learn how to do this. It was just amazing. It blew me away.
Crazy, yeah?
I want to learn how to move like this. And so I was basically his first student, and then still his basically oldest, not surviving student, but still, who's still, you know, teaching. He unfortunately had to leave for Brazil for immigration problems, but he is coming back. And in his place, I started to give lessons because I didn't want it to die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's awesome. Would it be wrong? I was looking at some of the arm movements, and you were saying that there's European influence and everything. Would it be wrong to say that some of the arm movements is sort of influenced by flamenco? A little bit, just in the grandeur of the and the fullness of the arm movements and the fingers and the articulation.
If we're talking about the ladies' movement, yes, there is a bit of that sort of the flair.
Yeah,
that it's very Latin. Yes, that it's not just about moving, but moving with grace, right? Putting charm in what would otherwise just be, you know, moving from point A to point B.
Yeah.
In the videos that I was watching, a couple on YouTube, there seemed to be a lot of in unison sort of movement where the two participants moved apart and did sort of, I don't know, almost hip-hop inspired stuff. Is that something that's been added recently, or was that always an element?
You mean when they separate for a bit and kind of do the same thing? Well, those are choreographed shows, right?
Right.
You do, in Gafiera, that's one of the wonderful things that I love about this. It leaves a lot of space for the dancer to add his own poetry, like I said. Mm-hmm. So yes, the gentleman can, you know, while doing a turn, while separating for a bit, he can just say, hey, let's take a break from each other. Mm-hmm. And each person kind of does their own little thing. They do their own little solo samba on their own while looking at each other. And there's a bit of a metaphor of courtship involved here, because kind of the woman kind of moves away from the guy, and the guy moves close to her, trying to seduce her. Then she moves away, you know, keep trying, but big boy, you know. And then suddenly they re-embrace again and resume what they were doing before. So that's what I meant when hip hop. I don't know too much about hip hop to say if the comparison is fair. It might be, but for what you said, yeah, that it does have that element, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there seem to be, in the ones that I saw, some throws and lifts.
It can get pretty acrobatic, and that's like in the high level, usually professional when you're doing it for shows. Yeah, you can throw the woman up in the air. And those are the influences from swing. Actually, there are a lot of moves from swing, like slinging around the back and between the legs. You do have that in some styles.
I see. So it's a mixture of just about anything.
Pretty much.
A bit of everything. Yeah. And does the professional level, the competition stuff, is that very different from how, I guess, it originated as sort of more of a folk populist dance?
It's in the professional level, it's not that present in like big competitions, right? I mean, you have showcases, you have like touring shows, but when we're talking about competition, we're talking about the international ballroom samba, which is what you see in So You Think You Can Dance or Dancing with the Stars, which is very different. it's sort of almost an American adaptation of it, which the Salma de Gafiera is almost doesn't look anything like it.
I see.
Yeah.
So how would you tell them apart then if you're watching one of these things and you're like, huh, is that Samba de Gafiera?
Well, to me the biggest giveaway is that the man's movement in the international ballroom samba is a lot more effeminate. Mm. He does these things with his arms like that, like how do you describe it on radio? He just flares with his arm. He puts his voguing.
He's voguing.
Pretty much. I mean, he stands on his tiptoes a lot, chest out, you know, almost this sort of delicate posture. Mm. Whereas in the Samba de Gafiera, it's very masculine, right? The difference between male and female is very, between masculine and feminine is very obvious, right? And it's celebrated. It's, like I said, sometimes there's that metaphor of courtship. So, and it's a little less clean. It can be a little bit naughtier. People look like they're having more fun in Samba de Gafiera, in my opinion. Yeah. Right?
Unbiased, completely.
No, not at all. that's what I would say.
Cool. There, and where, you said you're teaching stuff, and it's a series of classes or it's one-offs, and where, when, and how, and stuff like that.
Okay, we're still a pretty small group. We're trying to develop it, popularize this dance here in Montreal. So we have, you can see it, we have open practices on Sunday nights on from 7 to 9 p.m. at Studio Air de Tango. It's on 4324 Saint-Laurent, if I'm not mistaken. It's right on the corner of Marianne. And it's on top of this bar, Libo Bar, that I told you about. Those are open practices. People can just come to have fun. And immediately afterwards, on Sunday, they can also dance at Ad Libo Bar doing Brazilian Nights. Courses are done right now on a case-by-case basis, since we don't have too many people to justify a big group course. We're working to get there. But Wednesdays, we have a time slot reserved at a studio if people want to take group classes or take private one-on-one or semi-private classes with me or the other teachers. We're very flexible to whenever people's needs.
Okay.
Interesting.
And there, it's when you come in, you'd mentioned that there are specific types of music, that it's not just your generic sort of Brazilian samba music that you dance to. And
Well, the funny thing is there is no generic Brazilian samba. Samba that has about 12 subcategories, if I'm being conservative about this.
Okay.
There is like the raucous carnival samba that's which is very, you hear it on the samba parades, right? You can't dance cafia to that. It's too fast.
Okay.
It's too frantic. It's just going to be a messy thing. The Samba de Gafiera is best danced to a slower samba, like bossa nova, or like more romantic, melodic sambas, rather than just these big percussion, you know, orgies, right, that you have in carnival.
Okay. And is there a particular song that you... Yeah, with any particular performers, actually, so that somebody can hang I can hang my hat on it.
Sure. There are some performers that are actually, their names are almost synonymous to Samba de Gafiera. One is Alcione.
Mm-hmm. Talk into the microphone.
Talk into the microphone, not to you. Alcione, that's Alcione. There is also Emilio Santiago. Mm-hmm. Another great one is, her name escaped me right now.
That's okay. We got some time. I'm certain other people out there have more questions as well.
I'm curious as to how present it is in Brazil, this type of dance. Like, my God, would it be as present as the tango in Argentina?
No, actually, it's very localized. It was born in Rio.
Mm-hmm.
It died for a bit in Rio, and then it rebirthed. It was reborn in Rio.
Okay.
That's where you're going to see most activity. Mm-hmm. That's where the great teachers, world-renowned teachers, that's where they all are, in Rio. Of course, São Paulo is a big city, and you know it's a big cultural city, so obviously there are dance schools there, and any other big Brazilian cities, there's going to be a few communities, but Rio is the city.
Okay.
To do Samba de Gafiera.
What would account for the rebirth? Was there any specific incident that happened? Somebody just said, I'm going to take this on my back and cart it up the hill to fame and fortune?
That's a great question. Think about swing. You know, why did it have a big Renaissance swing? It always remained, someone kept it alive. It was a very small community of people kept it alive. And one day, maybe someone noticed it, thought it was awesome. It hit the media.
I thought it was one of those movies that came out when that sort of made it all hip and
swing
cool.
Kids.
So yeah. Was it? Okay, then.
So you guys need a movie. This is what you're saying.
No, it sounds like they already had a movie.
No, I mean Samba de Gafiera.
Oh. Yeah, exactly, in terms of, because there was the rebirth.
Anybody here a film director?
Not yet.
At which point, I also should tell everybody, you are listening to CKUT. We are 90.3 on your FM dial here in Montreal. It is currently 2:20 in the afternoon on April 23rd, and the sun keeps coming in, coming out, peeking between the clouds. And we are here talking to Roberto Rocha, who is a wonderful and phenomenal Samba de Gafiera.
That was so much better than the first attempt, let me tell you.
Teacher, and he teaches Sundays, Wednesdays at this place above Beaubards. And if anybody is interested in getting more information about it, you can always keep reminding myself. I got to talk about our email address. If you guys want to talk to us, it's movement@ckut. And then we also now have a blog where if you want to re-listen to the show, it is movement-museum.blogspot.com. However, before we get there and before we kick Roberto out the door, because we do have another guest who is very patiently waiting and sort of just hanging out there in the back room saying, hey, I want my time. Does anybody else have any questions to ask Roberto?
I just sort of have one last one.
Go wild.
Would you say that there's any, like, let's say, like, samba jams kind of thing? Like, is that how the style evolves, that people just get together in Rio and, like, jam for hours and, like, switch partners and everything like that? Is it sort of like an ever-changing style or dance technique because of that?
You're talking about the circle, the samba circles where...
Is there a samba circle?
Are we talking about in Montreal?
No, I'm talking about, like, back in Rio kind of thing, or, like, the dance itself.
Oh, absolutely, maybe. Absolutely. Yeah. It's called the samba de roda, which means samba in a circle, right? Mm. And it's actually, I think it was picked as some kind of UN, UNESCO Heritage of Humanity kind of thing, right? Yes, it does exist. That's mostly survives among in Bahia, the state of Bahia, where the African influence is just in your face. It's massive. That's where all the slaves came in, right? They still do that, and it still seems very traditional, very tribal. Other parts of Brazil, less so, but that still survives, yeah.
Interesting.
Cool. At which point, Roberto, then the way that I always end my interviews is, are there any questions that you would like us to ask you that we haven't asked?
No, you guys were great. You guys picked every little detail there is to pick, so...
Look at that.
I'm exhausted of topics.
Cool, at which point, thank you very, very much for coming in.
That was my pleasure, thank you.
That again, as far as... What is the name of the studio?
Air de Tango.
Oh, okay. And it's 4324 Saint-Laurent, which is at the corner of Marianne above Beaubards.
Exactly.
And it's Sunday early evenings, and then Wednesdays, if anybody is interested.
If we do get enough people interested, it'll be from 8 to 9:30.
Okay. And I think somebody is actually calling in now saying, I want to dance. But we will get to that at some point in the near future. So, yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And I think we should go do some business and stuff like that. We have ads coming up, some bills we have to pay, and so on and so forth. Once again, you're listening to Movement Museum on CKUT 90.3 FM on your Montreal radio dial.
Are you a budding journalist, an aspiring DJ, want to be a radio star?
CKUT and the McGill Conservatory Day Camp present Radio Camp.
Learn to record and edit sound, produce documentaries and news segments for radio and podcast, conduct interviews, learn to DJ,
and at the end of the week, produce and host a live radio show all in a fun summer camp setting.
CKUT will run 6 one-week Radio Camp sessions beginning June 29th until August 21st, 2009.
We have sessions for 10 to 13 and 14 to 17 years old.
For more information and to register,
visit www.ckut.ca
or call 514-398-5505.
Check out the McGill Conservatory Day Camp's other performance art camps
at www.mcgill.ca/conservatory/camp.
The National Theatre School presents Megan Cole's The Battery as part of its New Words Festival, taking place from April 28th to May 2nd at the Monument National. Directed by Philip McKee, The Battery is a dramatic exploration of friendship in the face of domestic violence. The Battery will be performed on April 28th, 29th, 30th, and May 2nd at 7 p.m. and May 1st at 9 p.m. at the Monument National, 1182 Saint-Laurent Boulevard. Tickets are $5 and are available at the box office or by calling 514-871-2224. New Words Festival is a CKUT co-presentation.
This is a quick channel identification test.
Yes, radio listeners.
It's important to check that your tuner or radio has been connected up correctly.
Radio
broadcast.
Montreal, Canada.
Montreal. Now it's time for the radio.
Now available online.
www.ckut.ca.
Don't you listen to the radio?
Listening to Movement Museum on CKUT 90.3 FM on your radio dial. It is about 2:28 in the afternoon on April 23rd, and we have a jam-packed studio. It's a little bit less jam-packed right now because we lost one, but we still have six, which is just about as more than we have microphones for. But yes, right now we have Catherine Lessard, who is head of the Association for Contact Improvisation and a member of PIE, which is Performance Improvisation Exchange. And yes, given that I'm having all sorts of difficulties wrapping my lips and brain around just about everything, this one I'm going to pass off to John, because John was the one who was responsible for getting Catherine to come into studio, and I'd like to thank
Catherine's
you very much.
Been kind enough to come in. We should also mention that she's a teacher, contact improvisation and authentic movement, as well as a few other things, which maybe we'll get to. So first of all, I guess let's talk a little bit about contact improvisation. If you could just give us a little introduction to what contact improvisation involves. What is it all about?
So contact improvisation is a form that was created in the 70s. So it's a very hippie form. It was created in that period where people were just breaking boundaries and trying new things with their lives and their bodies. And it's basically a dance, but not a dance. It's a physical conversation, I would say. Creators, founders of the form would call it an art sport. Which implies the artistic part of it, but also the acrobatic. And this physical conversation will express itself through touch and a little bit further through weight transfer between two partners. And sometimes more partners. We can do trios or groups. And we can extend that to the solo. We can think that we're doing contact improvisation with a floor, a chair, a wall. So that's it. Can look like an avalanche of spiral between two bodies acting like one on the physical level.
So is the idea to always be in contact with another person? Is that
yeah.
Is that what it would look like?
Yes, it would be being in contact and kind of rolling around a point of contact between these two people, these two dancers, improvisers. But when the form developed, we could say later on, they were experiencing also how to keep contact without touch. So also our energetic connection in the space could become a way to be in contact and our vision. But basically, it's with touch.
So as the form developed, they tried to experiment with new ways of keeping contact and such.
Yeah, okay. But basically, it's touch is the main part of it.
I see.
Yeah.
And then what sort of environment? Is it always participatory or are there also performances?
Well, that's the interesting part of the research because it's like a work in progress. And some people have been experiencing performing with contact improvisation, and actually I am experiencing that in my group PI Performance Improvisation Exchange with four other dancers that are from different backgrounds, but they're very fond of contact improvisation. So we're doing that, the five of us together, and we are trying to bring it on the stage and see what emerged from that.
I see.
How can you still be present to your partner? How can you still be present to the motion in the very present moment, to the flow, and be performing for an audience in the same time? This is very interesting.
Yeah, to make a contact with other participants as well as the audience at the same time.
Yes.
How to maintain that balance.
Yeah, because there's a certain amount of authenticity that you need to stay in that contact. Because if you lose it, then you can bump back in each other. And if you lose it, then it's hard to maintain the flow of the dance. So you need to be really authentic and a bit Buddhist, like, okay, what's happening right now? Not getting ahead of yourself or not staying in the past or in your ideas. Or you have to be in your body.
So what does it feel like to be in that sort of state? Is it a very heightened level of concentration or is it somehow letting go to be aware of somebody else or can it be a whole sorts of different things?
Well, in our practice, to become awake and aware implies letting go. Implies a lot of breathing, a lot of listening to your inner sensations, to the space all around you, to be able to evaluate with your body cells the distances and the moods and the energetic level of motion in the room. And so it's awakening and loosing, letting go in the same time.
So is there a certain ritual that you do before you start the dance, or is the dance itself the ritual, which gets you into this sort of space?
Well, as a teacher, mm-hmm. I tend to suggest to the people to have a time of soloing before they enter into contact. For example, in a jam, we call it a jam session. It's okay. A body jam session. It's not a music or jazz jam session, but it's still a jam. I always suggest people to have a certain amount of time soloing and maybe be still in the beginning just to feel gravity, feel the earth, because we're going to play later with gravity and momentum and falling and flying and takeoff and all these wonderful physical matters of our concrete world. So if you don't take a certain time to feel it in your own body before having an exchange with someone, then maybe you're more in danger when you start to dance with someone.
I see.
Because we can get really acrobatic. We can kind of donut around someone's shoulders with momentum and spiraling, but we need to be in that state where we're ready for anything happening anytime, at any time.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, I guess there's a lot of trust between you and your partner. Is it something that you can do with somebody you don't know, or somebody you have to know them really well so that you don't have these sort of accidents, I guess?
Well, I tend to think you don't have to know your partners. More and more you become experienced, more and more you have to be humble and be ready to try with someone, some bodies you don't know, mm-hmm. to be adaptable, actually. This is part of our practice. We open all the channels, the inner channels of our articulations and of the body to become more adaptable to anything happening. So anything can also be anyone.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Is it fair to say that it's a therapeutic kind of activity? Is that its goal, is to have some sort of outcome, some sort of improvement?
No, it's not the goal at all. Mm-hmm. But it can be used that way, mm-hmm. or a part of it, some elements of it can be used that way. Actually, contact improv is a mix of many practices. It has many sources. It's influenced by Aikido, which is a martial art, and also Tai Chi, which is another martial art. There are some elements of Capoeira from Brazil. There are some elements of contemporary dance, release techniques. So that's the part where we learn how to let go and to have a very available body for anything happening. It's a great mix of many things, meditation too, mm-hmm. And acrobatic one-on-ones technique from circus. So it's really a mix of all these beautiful practices.
So there's no goal insofar as an outcome, but it's in itself.
Well, there's many goals then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, like a choreographer can practice it as a warm-up to find some elements for his choreographies, or someone can just do it as a body practice to be in shape. Someone can do it as a way of living. I mean, I'm a teacher, so it's part of my full-time activity. Someone can be doing it for therapeutic reasons. Mm-hmm. But in general, we tend to not to be too much therapeutic in it, because we don't want to use someone to heal ourselves. We want to have an exchange together, which is a bit different.
I see. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else realize I've been hogging the mic here?
Well, I was wondering, how does one then start getting involved with something like this? I mean, are there classes? Can anybody get involved? Or you mentioned that it's very acrobatic, so what does someone have to be prepared for if mm-hmm. they're curious to try it out?
Mm-hmm. Well, it can be very acrobatic.
Okay.
The thing is that we learn how to listen with our bodies. So if I want, or if this is what happens with someone that, I mean, I'm having a very slow dance with less momentum, more stillness and meditation. This is still contact improvisation. As long as there is touch, playfulness with elements of gravity and weight transfer. It is contact improvisation. And of course, we are not talking about touch in a seductive way or a sexual way. It's about body sensations, to be able to have this conversation without our words, actually. Mm-hmm.
So are there classes?
How
does one start?
So we can start by just coming to the gym and then watching and then diving into the pool, which is somehow fun. But it is good to have classes too, because there are some principles. There are some basic principles, like staying in contact, trying to create a bridge or a keystone, transferring weight into each other's. And this takes a certain amount of practice and exercises to really get it in the body.
You teach a class on Thursday night, is that right? Followed by a jam?
Yes.
So would the class be a good opportunity for beginners?
Yes, this class is for beginners. I mean, it's all levels. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to include some elements of revision, revisiting basics for those who are already used to contact. And I'm also bringing it to the level of the beginners, so anybody can join.
Mm-hmm. And what time is that at? And
7 p.m. at Fleur d'Asphalte. So this is on Saint-Hubert. Yeah, that's it. It's right between Saint-Zotique and Bélanger. So it's 6847 Saint-Hubert. That's it. Yeah, so that's happening at 7 p.m. And it's followed by a jam. So people who learned new basics, new elements, they can try it into a jam after that. I call it a focused jam because we work with a certain theme, but it's still a jam. So we can just experiment then after the class.
I see. One thing I wanted to ask about was generally there's no music involved in contact improvisation. Did I read that?
Okay, wow, there are so many preconceived ideas around these forms. We do it a lot without music because we're so busy already listening to, where the weight is going, how the dance is flowing, listening to where the movement of my partner is bringing us, where my own inner movement is bringing me. So, yeah, music is an element that can be disturbing when we're learning. But then when you're used to it, it can be very interesting to add a partner to your dance. So you're dancing with the elements, floor, wall, and a human being, which is your dance partner, and with the music that will become the other partner.
I see.
So improvised music is very welcome in contact improvisation.
Okay. In later stages.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Anybody else have any?
Toro, Fawn, you just showed up. You guys can pile on anytime.
Maybe you can explain to the listeners the idea of round robin in a jam session. Mm-hmm. About the circle that happens. Like you have, like, it's like in a class you'll have like the warm up and, like you said, like offering the tools to the students, like,
yes,
to find out what you know, because you can do these incredible lifts in contact improv,
sure,
but if you don't know how to manage the weight or where to take the pike and everything, mm-hmm, you can really, really hurt yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So after you do, like, the warm-up, like I said, like, the solo, and then giving the people, like, the tools to see where they can do these lifts and these like, hooks and everything like that, and then the idea of round robin, which I love, mm-hmm, you know? Maybe you can explain that a little bit to the listeners.
Okay, so round robin is it's a score. It's an improvised structure, mm-hmm, that it's a contact improvisation structure. And if I explain it quickly, I would say a first dancer is A, second dancer is B, mm-hmm, and then we'll go on C, D, E. And A will start a solo, and then B will come in and have a duet, a contact improv duet with A. Mm-hmm. And then C will come in. So you'll have a short time, a trio time, and then A will come out and then B and C will dance together. So mm-hmm. it's A, B, B, C, C, D, D, mm-hmm. E, as much as you have people in yeah. the room. And then it can just become a bit more messy and things just become a jam.
Yeah.
So it's a score. We have a certain amount of different scores to practice contact, which is a little bit more focused than the open jam. Mm-hmm. But still, it's not like the class or the exercises in the class. Yeah. It's a score. Yeah.
Cool. Now, there, I was wondering, how did you get involved in this? You'd mentioned briefly about the history where it was sort of hippy-dippy and so on, but yeah, where did you, how did you personally get involved?
After having a baby, I really wanted to start moving again. When I was young, I was a lot in gymnastics. I did like 10 years of that. And also a little bit of contemporary dancing at L'Ademi, mm-hmm. Downtown Montreal. And after having a baby, I wanted to move again. And I was just feeling like gymnastics is a bit rigid for me. Contemporary dancing is a bit rigid too. I felt like a free soul. I wanted to move, but a free way. And in contact improvisation, I found this liberty into the movement. And more and more I'm doing it, I think there are some rules that mm-hmm. we have to respect. But when I started it, it was just like a liberation of movement. And then I learned more and became the teacher.
Okay. It sounds very cool. What other types of movement did you try beyond contemporary dance and gymnastics until you found contact improv?
Well, that's basically it. Okay. I did a little bit of swimming and first aid competitions mm-hmm. and things like that, but yeah.
And authentic movement, is that something that you moved into after contact yeah. improvisation?
Yes, authentic movement came after contact improv.
Hold on. Sorry that I'm out of the loop. I didn't get the memo. What is authentic movement? You're now going out on the PhD level or something.
Yeah. Well, authentic movement is more like, it's also a duet practice, but you're moving alone. So the mover is soloing, and it's not you're not trying to move a dancey way. Actually, you're closing your eyes and listening for the impulse to come. And moving with the impulse. So you're being danced. You're not really mm-hmm. dancing for someone.
Okay.
But you have a witness. So this is the partner. You have a witness, and the witness is not there to judge what you're doing. It's not there to say, well, at that point, you should have done this instead. Or it's just there to validate your experience. So you can have mm-hmm. a memory together of what happened. And the witness is also having an experience, watching you moving. Mm-hmm. And you can exchange about it after. This would be, in a certain way, a bit more therapeutic than contact improv. But you don't have to use it a therapeutic way, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, is I think I was reading that can often be expressed creatively in drawing or
yes.
or conversation.
Yes.
Is that a sort of
well,
last step?
After moving, you can have a harvest. Somehow with your witness. And if you don't feel like talking about the images, about what it felt like, where you were in your journey when you moved for 20 minutes, eyes closed, if you don't want to talk about it, then maybe you can draw together. Or maybe you can do some painting or do some sounds or just have a way to harvest together.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you were offering classes in authentic movement.
Yeah,
as well,
I don't call it classes because authentic movement is more in a practice that you just experiment. So I feel like a facilitator or something like that.
I see.
Guide, like a guide. Yeah, I'm offering that once a month on first Friday of the month.
Okay. Yeah. And where would
same place, L'Heure d'Asphalte. Okay. Yeah, on Saint Hubert.
Okay, that sounds great.
Okay, and yeah. then, yeah, fun. You showed up, so you got questions, or am I just putting you on the spot?
I'm just being put on the spot.
No problem. It was my
it's
night.
Very interesting.
Cool. No, there it's Catherine. As I asked Roberto before and stuff like that, are there any points that we haven't brought up
yeah, well,
that
The acrobatic part mm-hmm. of it may sound like, how do we get there? And I would say that if you really work with gravity instead of against gravity, I mean, with, you know, a lot of muscle strength, come here, I'm going to lift you, then that's wrong. If you work with gravity, align your structure vertically into gravity and receive the weight into your vertical and giving it to the ground, I, which is like 100 pounds, can lift you.
I know. It's called leverage.
Yeah. So it's really an understanding of how to use your body with less effort, mm-hmm. more efficiency. Mm-hmm. Into momentum, into acrobatic, if you want.
Okay. Yeah. And then there it's it, and it's now suddenly realized after I said that you, which, Walt, if there's anything that we missed, I suddenly realized I have 17 other questions that I haven't even asked. But one yeah. of them being is, where do you, if we've gone over where you started, where do you see it going, and where specifically your practice going? Because I would imagine it's sort of a very, I don't know, interesting learning slope that gets larger yes. and larger.
Well, what I feel is that this form belongs to the community. There is no certification. Mm-hmm. When you feel you're ready to teach it, because you've been learning with the founders and because you went around the world, see how it looks around the world, contact improv, then you can teach. So it's a work in progress that belongs to all the people that are doing it. And we're still figuring it out.
Okay. Do you have any specific ideas, desires, goals that you would like?
Well, slowly teaching more and more okay. and performing more and more.
Okay.
But also have some nice exchanges mm-hmm. with communities around the world. Because it's practiced everywhere mm-hmm. now. Yeah. And we have with the group that I mentioned, the Pi group, mm-hmm. we have a show coming.
Oh, okay. When, where, and how?
Yeah. Well, it's a show at Studio 303. Mm-hmm. So on St. Catherine.
372 St. Catherine Street yeah. West.
Yeah, at third floor, you have a Studio 303, which is actually the center of alternate dances in Montreal somehow. And we're doing that show on May 16th. And 17th. Mm-hmm. So it's Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually, you can go on our website, the Pi website, to see, to have more information about it. It's just Pi.
It's dash.
No, that's not a dash. Un tiré, trait d'union.
Yeah, dash. That is dash.
Pi dash dance.com. Mm-hmm. That's our website.
Okay.
And for the association, Contact Improvisation, Association for Contact Improv in Montreal, you can go on contactimpro.org. So that's the Frenchy way of contraction of Contact Improv. Great. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. At which point, thank you very, very much for coming in and telling us all about it. And yes, if anybody didn't missed up on the website addresses, the dates, the addresses, or anything like that, probably the easiest way to do it as opposed to reciting them and reciting them a third time would be to get in touch with us, which can be done very easily through movement, MOVEMENT at CKUT.ca, if I can spell it right. And yes, we've been speaking with Catherine Lessard of the Association for Contact Improvisation. And Selena, Sirius Black, do you have some tunes laid up so that we can then get our heads wrapped around everything and then come back with the awesome calendar, because yes, there's an awful lot of stuff happening this week, this weekend, and into the future. Okay.
CKUT on the air, live for CKUT. Oh, what? CKUT, CKUT.
minute in it. Never you worry, just have your minute in it. Yeah. Potato, you harvest potato. You plant yam, you harvest yam. What you sow is what you reap.
And yes, we're back for the tail end. It is 2:57 on Thursday, April 23rd. You're listening to Movement Museum, talking about dance on the radio. CKUT 90.3 FM. It seems to be a little bit sunny out there. I think that's about all the detail work that I have to do for the CRTC and the powers that be that keep us going on the air and make us happy that we can then do this sort of stuff and sort of foam at the mouth over the microphones while getting all hot and sweaty about dance.
And speaking about dance and dance that's yet to come, let's get to the awesome calendar. So, a bunch of you know that today is the first day of the second Estates General of the Professional Dancers or Dance in Quebec. Yep. So, the 2-3 day conference that's going to be happening.
They might even be 4 days. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, four days. And I got told that I got bumped into something on Sunday because it was so popular that like they couldn't fit everybody into the room. However, The one today is happening at the Espace Jean-Pierre Perrault, which is 2022 Sherbrooke Street East. And my understanding, if I'm correct, is that it is a meet and greet and a cocktail, which I am immensely looking forward to. And then there's the other one that I was quite sort of surprised to find out is that it looks like dance is going big time because everybody knows about the performances at the Apple Store and how like they're all like the hip trendy guys and stuff like
What's
that. But
going
then,
on?
Pardon, there's I Louis. Don't know. There's Louis Martin Charret who's doing his Blanche thing at the Apple Store tonight. And so if you're not going to be drinking with all the dancers over at Espace Jean-Pierre Perrault, you can go down to the Apple Store at 7 o'clock to watch him talk about Blanche, which was his piece that he made, I think, 3 years ago. And then somehow he decided that he was going to turn it into video. And then Apple got their hooks into him and I hope gave him scads of cash so that he can now do a presentation on how wonderful everything Mac is and why it made his life so easy.
And is that a free event?
It certainly better be.
Yeah.
In complete contrast to that degree of commercialism, we have Les Printemps de la Danse happening at the NDG Maison de la Culture, which is also tonight from 8 to 10, which looks like it'll be very nice and exciting.
Mm-hmm. There's also the Lucie Grégoire Danse at l'Agora de la Danse, and she is doing... what is it that she's doing? Hold on, I gotta hit the edit event details here. Yeah, and co-production de Lucie Grégoire Danse. She is doing... what is it called here? Something with Yoshito Ono. It's way too many words here, but it's really, really good. And L'Agora de la Danse is at 840 Charrier, and I think probably, while it will cost money, it's not going to be terribly commercial, and it is well worth your while if you're not at any of the other wonderful events that we are mentioning right now. And oh yeah, it's 3 o'clock. Holy smokes. I could just foam on and on, at which point, thank you all for listening. I'd like to thank... Hold on, I got it all written down here. Where did that go? Yes, we have a John. We have a Fawn. We have a Finn. We have Adora, we have Sirius Black, and my name is Zeke, and you've been listening to Movement Museum on CKUT, and we will see y'all next Thursday.
Nice and easy.